We are looking at 1 John this evening, but if you'd like to turn with me to Psalm 22. We have been looking at this the last 3 weeks. We've looked at Psalm 22 in the morning. As we said, it was could have very easily been found in the Passion narratives. I'll just read the first part, maybe to verse 20. Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you, we need to remember as well, cry unto God, not because he doesn't believe God's there, but because he believes God's there. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am worm and no man. A reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake their head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hand and my feet. I cannot count my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. Amen. We're going to turn to our next hymn. It is an older hymn. Some of you may know it. Behold what love, what boundless love, the Father has bestowed upon us. On sinners lost that we should be, and called the sons of God. I'll get Sam to play it through once, and those of you who don't know it can get sort of the tune in your head. Thank you. 6 weeks ago, maybe longer now, I had a phone call from a friend, and he was talking about getting back into to reading maybe Calvin's Institutes and starting Greek again, and so we FaceTimed once a week for about half an hour or so, and we discussed what we had learnt, and I like to be organised, but I'm not the most organised person in the world, and I've managed to get myself set in a certain rhythm and routine, and then all of a sudden my mother-in-law breaks her leg, and it sends us into such frustration, and I find myself getting more and more frustrated, and not just that, but you begin to get frustrated with other people that they should be different as a Christian, they should be more committed, or they should do this. And you know, the list goes on, and we can all be like that. And then last Monday I sat down to just begin to open up this passage. I was probably going to do the first, I don't know, 15 verses of this chapter, and it just, I was bowled over. Another verse. So well, but the Lord reminded me, listen, there are times when you need to just stand and stare at what I've done for you. In fact, my friend said, he quoted Martin Luther last week, and I felt like this is really hard saying this. Martin Luther once said, "We preach the gospel to them, but they behave like pigs." Now that's how man would say that to you. How would you feel? And yet I looked at myself as I began to meditate on this passage and to consider its magnitude. As I was blown away by it, I realised that I behave like those pigs. I'm not where I should be often. I may allow the cares of this world to become greater than our God. That first word there is reminding us of our position in Christ. Indebted to stare at. Have you ever been in a situation, particularly
can't give the words out. Typically today,
you know, you're there in the car, you just pick someone up, work or university. You know they're not listening. They go, yeah, yeah, they're on the phone. Could you just stop for a moment and listen? You walk by people in the street and you say, good morning. Don't even know you're there. They're mind. They've got their headphones on and they're just listening to all the things that they want to listen to, and they're in a different world. They never have time to just appreciate the rain, to appreciate the clouds, to appreciate the sun, to appreciate the fact that they are alive. You know, you're in a car, and Nan used to be a bit like this. You're driving on holiday, and you say, look at that, but she'd be that busy talking. That is a story. She'd missed the view. My granddad said, Bess, you just missed it. You just missed that buzzard. These days, you see them everywhere. Pigs are constantly foraging, looking for food. Never at the car look up. This is one of the things about those who are not the children of God. They can't look up. It's impossible. But for us, we can. God has opened our eyes. And yet still like pigs, we're foraging about. We're worried about our communities. Yes, that's fine. But not at the cost of who we are in Christ. We fill our lives with so many things and lose sight. So easily taken up with the cares of this world. As a child, the children, there'll be lots of illustrations tonight and lots of reminders of hymns. But I just want us to just stay a little while in these few words. But as a child, we would often be found riding around the Welsh mountains. The only place my father knew, but we would ride around the Welsh mountains, and often he would say, round this next corner, you wait and see him. No, this next corner you'll see it. No, this next corner, and then you'd be on, and all of a sudden, there you'd see a view that just even as a young child would just blow your mind. I remember just maybe 4 years ago, I had a view of something that it just sticks with me now. I wish I'd have taken a picture. I was heading up to Anglesey to see Sam and Steve on Beach Mission, to see, encourage them. And I'd been tearing away, you know, you're on your motorbike, you're flying up, and I'm heading towards Bangor. I've just come on the brow of a hill, and you just round this corner, and all of a sudden, about the cars behind me, we're getting frustrated because I got slower and slower as I just looked at this view. There was a river down the side, right side, and there were hills either side, and there was one rainbow after another, rainbow after rainbow, and it was just, and you just riding there thinking, what an amazing God we serve. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And in the ESV, in the Greek, says, and are. We are so blessed as the people of God. Have you had that gasp of wonder? When you think of what God has done for you, have you gasped in wonder at the fact that you are a child of the living God? Did your heart ache with the wonder of that position? There are times when you begin to consider what God has done, and it takes your breath away. You just think, Lord, my head is hurting. My heart is just aching with the thought of it. I cannot imagine what I am in you. Fanny Crosby wrote these words. She said, Behold the wondrous love that ever flows from God above through Christ, his only Son. who gave his precious blood our souls to save. Behold, a fountain in his sight. To all the world he's open wide, but all may come by sin oppressed and find in him sweet peace and rest. Behold him now exalted high above the bright and starry sky, yet through his word he calleth still. Come unto me, whoever will. Behold him there, behold him the living way that onward leads to endless day, where saved by grace the ransomed throng lift up the everlasting song. Behold, you stop sometimes and say, Lord, forgive me. I need to meditate upon your love. John is saying, just stop a look. Just stop for a moment and consider what God has done for you. Yes, things are not going well. Yes, things have happened that you cannot imagine happening. Your family's let you down. Your husband's let you down. Your wife's let you down. You've let yourself down. And there's a whole list of things. The government's letting us down. The country's letting us down. All kinds of things are being pushed in our face. And we get so taken up with it. John says, just stop for a moment and consider what you have. It's like nothing else seen before. It's not of this world. It's not of man's imagination. Man could not have thought it up. It's impossible. He's like a pig foraging in the mud. He could have never lifted his eyes to heaven. He never thought he was in need, but God in his mercy through Jesus Christ has lifted his eyes. Amazing love. How can it be? When you sing some of these hymns, is your heart stirred? You know how it is, we come, we sing the hymns, we're all busy. You know, some of you folk, you come, you support us, and you've got all these meetings you've been to, and for our own folk, we sometimes come, we sing the hymns, and we go away, and we have our tea, and we don't stop and consider. Sometimes I feel like saying to Sam and Philip, play a different tune for these hymns. What said the apple cart? So that he start looking at the words and considering. I'm not going to do that. But there are times, aren't there? I can't remember Mrs. Beasley from Holbrooks, but I can remember Kath. And Kath could do it sometimes, I don't know if she still does it. But I remember as a young child, sometimes people would be singing a hymn and she'd stop playing. And you'd have that funny feeling inside you, and you'd be looking at the words. You wouldn't be lowering or whatever, and you'd be looking. It made you concentrate. And there's times when we need to stop. What is it about this that causes John to wonder in amazement? Well, it's the love of God the Father, isn't it? He says, behold, what manner of love, what kind of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and are. But what is it about this love? Well, it's a lavish love. A love without measure. A love so wonderful, we should be called the children of God. Are you with me in this? You know, remember that day when you were in the slough of your spawn? Remember when you were in the miry clay and God reached down and drew you out? Remember when your life was so messy that you thought, Lord, how on earth can I be lifted up from this? Yet he is, doesn't it? Yes, for some of us we may have scars. Some of us, we may have to live with things that, from the past, but nevertheless, our God has stepped in. Our God has lavished His love upon us. That self-giving love. The Bible says He poured out His love amongst our, in our hearts. Without measure. It's not, and the thing is as well, it's not simply that He's given us a name, Christian. You know, He's done something wonderful for us. Not only has He lavished upon us His love, not only has He set us apart. We read there in Romans 8, read from verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children," Paul's taking it to the logical conclusion, and you're thinking, how dare you? How can you take it this far? And yet led by the Spirit, He said, if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Isn't that amazing? If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. God has not simply named us Christians, but He has made us into something new and different. He's taken us and He's changed us and He's shaped us. No longer are we these rebellious wretches of wrath that hate the things of God, but He's spread His love abroad in our hearts, and He's changed us and washed us by the power of the blood shed at Calvary. And now we want to live for Him. Even though we fail Him time and time again, we want to live for Jesus every day. Do you know, I do struggle with it. I look at myself and I think of a time when someone has come up to me and wanted to share something of a spiritual blessing, and I've said, yeah. And I've not been encouraged by it. And you see, it's a sign, it's a lack of spirituality, where there's that dullness of amazement of God's love. We should be desiring this for people to just almost waste their time sharing the wonders of what God has done. I'm not talking about intellectualism now. I'm not talking about, there are some people that can know lots of things and they come up and share this with you and share that with you, and they've got lists of things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who have been genuinely touched by the wonder of what God has done. You know, when you sit there after you preach, and not, you don't want people coming up to you saying, "Oh, what a first class sermon." You don't want that. But it's when people come and they say, "Oh, brother, I just want to share this," and it just encouraged me to, it reminded me of, and they share of God is working in their hearts. And we should be full of wonder of the fact that there's another person on this planet that God has done the impossible to. He's taken them as a simple wretch and turned them into someone who just loves the things of God. Yeah. You know, you see it on Facebook. If you ever look at Facebook, there are certain people on there that you're friends with. And one person has come to my mind that's not long been a Christian, only a couple of years. And they're constantly putting things on Facebook, reminding people that they love the Lord. They're just so overwhelmed by the fact that there was a day when they had no talk of God, no awareness of God, and God in His mercy opened their eyes. Oh, how tragic when we speak of the wonder of God's love in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing those songs of His, Lord, the talk of His amazing love, and we're not moved with wonder and love and praise. I look back over the years and I just feel so disheartened by myself. I remember that song, I'm pressing on the upward way. And I'm just thinking of the young man's courage. And I look back, I think, if only I could go back and take hold of me and shake me. But if you look at the words, it's talking about that path that leads to heaven in the strength of a God who has stooped down and become a man and died for you and have life eternal. And you call it a dirge. And someone who has been judged of God and has penned these words so that Christians can be encouraged there. You call it a dirge. Yes, we are concerned about the tune. Yes, we are concerned about whether they're old or modern words. So often we're not worried about the truth, we're often worried about what the words on it. We're aware of all that's going on around. Oh, Tommy didn't see tonight, and Frida wasn't. And we're singing, tear out my soul, the greatness of my God, and we're aware of everything that's going around. Are we overwhelmed with the manner of God's love? Remember when you first came to faith and you couldn't believe it, could you? My shackles are gone, my spirit is free. Rolled away, oh, the burden of my heart. Rolled away, every sin I had to go and need cleansing. Oh, rolled away. You spent our whole life, our whole Christian walk, full of anxiety. Anxieties from the world and ourselves, and lose sight of what we have. And this experience is not just for the infant in Christ. This should be for us all. We should all be bathing in the wonder of what God has done for us. The Apostle Paul, or the Apostle John, he wasn't a young man. He was an old man. Well, this time he was at the end of his days. Much like the Apostle Paul, all he wanted to talk about, I see this more and more so clearly, all he wanted to talk about was Christ and Him crucified. You can just imagine them when they met together at occasions and they said, God, don't you want to behold Him again? Don't you want to grasp the wonder of it again? Oh, to see Him in glory. There is this old man. He writes, behold, where does that come from? Where does it come from? It's too wonderful to even imagine that God should lavish on us His love that we might become the children of God. But note as well with me that John is not just in awe of what God has done for him, but that it is for all who believe. He says, doesn't he? He says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. God has taken broken people from all places. This battleground of sin has brought them into the church. And we're not yet what we should be. And we will fail. And you know when we point at people all the time, and they're not what they should be. Well, no, they're not. None of us are what we should be. Thank God that we are not like others could be. Let's be thankful that God has brought us to where we are. We could be absent from the church alone. We could not be desiring to be in the house of God. We could be, and there's lots of reasons. We could thank God for the fact. What does he say? Don't be rejoicing in the fact that you can cast out demons and you can heal the sick. Rejoice in this fact, that your name is written in the book of life. And I suppose there's no greater passage to just briefly look at about this subject than the prodigal son. There in Luke 15, we have the prodigal son there. He has said to his father, "Father," he was on Friday, "Father, I wish you were dead." That's what he was saying. And that's culture. Well, even in our own culture, if I went up to my father and I said, "Look, Dad, you're hanging on a bit too long now, and I'd like to pay the mortgage off, and I'd like to do this, and Mum, how would they feel when I left the house?" And you see here in this lad, he said to his face, he said, "Dad, I wish you were dead. Give me all that's owing me for the future." And his dad just said, and he let him go into the far country, and we read that he wasted on selfish living. And then in verse 16 we read, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pots which the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. He can't be end of himself. Near this Jewish lad, shouldn't have been a big deal, he shouldn't have been there. But he'd come to stay forever. He was envying the pigs. He was envying these creatures that were should never have been part of the imagination. Let me read in verse 17. It says, "When he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" And the Bible says he went to his father. What a journey that must have been. Do you remember that journey? Remember that journey when God showed you your sin and you just didn't know where to turn? Remember that journey when you thought, "Where do I go?" But you thankfully, mercifully, you'd heard the gospel message, some may have not. And they've been seeking for many years, some people, looking and longing for hope. Remember that journey? Who could rid you of this sin? Who could bring you to a place of peace and security? Oh, the weight that left your shoulders that day. What sort of welcome did you receive? You know, I look back at the day and I went to the minister and I said, "I'd like to just make my life right with the Lord." And you could almost see in the background them killing the fatty calf. We're just so excited. But never at any time did the pastor drag me into it. Never did he give me the tools to become a Christian. He allowed me to come before the Lord myself. It had to be a personal work of God's grace. For all of this. And I forgot I used to say this. Sam mentioned this on Friday. He said, "Dad always used to say that the father would be there with his telescope." And you could just imagine the father wanted to see as far as he could, waiting. He didn't want to miss a moment. He just longed to that moment when his son would be coming, and you could just imagine the scene in his household, that the wife is there, and suddenly her husband looks so undignified as he runs past her, hardly time to say anything, and he's down that highway and he's after his son, and he doesn't care what's happening, he just wants to throw his arms around him. And then again, you're just thrilled
And that verse that says there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repentance, then you just have this picture of God just dancing for joy and rejoicing over every soul that is won. He was lost, but now he's found. What amazing love. He would have remembered that for the rest of his life. The father would have remembered my lost son was lost, but now he's found. The son would have remembered that I have no desert, I do not deserve to have what I have. And yet I am robed for my father as an heir of his estate. How do we become children of God? Well, you turn to chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 29, and it says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. That is, we have been made members of his family by being born of him. All we read there in verse 1 of chapter 2, that we have been called, we've been named, we've been adopted into his family. You see, we weren't children of God naturally, we were born children of wrath. God, the Lord Jesus says of the Pharisees, that you are your father the devil. He's talking to the whole of mankind. Listen, you are unregenerate. There is none righteous, none at one, says Paul. How do those who are children of wrath become children of God? And John has everything that we need in this little book of his. We read there in verse 2 of chapter 2. And he himself is the propitiation. He is the payment. He is the atonement for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Isn't that wonderful? What I have received from God, I can share it with us. This joy that bursts from me, my friend and my neighbour, my enemy, they can know the same joy. Psalm 22 that we read earlier on reminds us of Christ bearing our sins, coming under the wrath of God in our place, that we might go free. Oh, the Son of Love came and died in our place. But you see, we will never know what it cost our God to give birth. I was going to share, so I've got to just quickly share a story. There is a story that talks of a, I've heard lots of accounts of this story of a man who worked on the railway and his son died saving people. But the story goes back to actually 1888, and the son doesn't actually die. But the account is this. There in Prussia, there is a man that works on the signals, and he works in a place where, you know, where the trains come and the track turns them round and lets them go off in a different direction. And a train was coming down the track, and he comes to the signals, and he's having to pull a lever, and he gets the track in the right place. And as he looks over there, he sees his son playing on the track. And he thinks to himself, in that split moment, what do I do? I haven't got time to go and get my son. Do I get my son? I'll lose all these people. And he says, he shouted at his son, just to lie down on the track. Lie down. And he holds his lever, and the train comes, this huge train as the steam is puffing, and the track moves. And all the time, how he must have felt. All the time, saving hundreds of lives. The train turns and off it goes on its journey. Well, first thing he does, he sees his son there. And he goes, and his son's alive.
son would listen and was obedient to it. But you see, not one of those passengers knew what it cost him to save their lives. And the Apostle John says, just look. Behold, what manner of love. My dear friend, you do not know what it cost him. But it is it for you and me. Don't you feel blessed? I don't know about you, but I just think, Lord, forgive me for being like a pig crawling about the muck of this world. Oh, help me to raise my eyes to heaven. That I might be lost in wonder, love and praise. I think it was Howell Harris who came back one night from a meeting and he wrote in his journal, glory, glory, glory. Oh, that's what we want to taste of, isn't it? We want the people to be saved around here. We want our sons and daughters, our uncles and aunties. We want our neighbours to be saved. How on earth can we expect them to be saved if we are not lost in awe and wonder of what our God's done? Amen. We're going to close by singing our final hymn. Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. Thank you. defend others, they come and worship you. We see, feel so pathetic. Lord, we have this old Adamic nature that seems to cling to us. Oh, forgive us, Father, for not worshipping you as we ought. Lord, so often it's all about feelings. It's often all about how we are in life. Lord, we pray that our mind would take us beyond that. That we would simply just take hold of what you've done. That you'd help us grasp the wonder of what you've done. That the God of heaven became a man and died upon that cruel cross. That we might have life eternal. Oh, what a wonderful work you've done for us. Father, we pray now that as we gather around the table, oh, that you stir our hearts. We ask these things in the name of our wonderful Saviour.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know about you, I often say that when I die I just long to bow before the Lord and be lost in wonder and praise, but I think there's going to be a bit of beholding first. You know, you'll be there and just, it's unbelievable. A mind will be alive with the wonder of what God has done. There'll be no distractions. There'll be no worrying about what's happening at home, or no worrying about our children or our families. We'll just be taken up with the Saviour of the world, and our brother, our elder brother, our elder brother that died, that we might have life. Oh, to meet with the Father. The one who loved us so much that was willing to give his Son. The Blessed Spirit, the one who's been our comforter and guide all this way. You can imagine, just imagine with me for a moment. You close your eyes in death. There you stand, lost in wonder, love, and praise, and he whispers in your ear, "You're not telling me how wonderful it can be." You're not telling this. I told you, you wouldn't grasp it. Oh, what delight we'll have for all eternity. And the more you're just looking at that this week, I can just, things have become alive to you more than ever. You think of the Apostle Paul in that messy church that I've talked about so often, as he tells them, "Come back to the table of remembrance. And behold the Lamb of God. Behold what is this love that he's bestowed upon you, that you should be called the children of God." And as John says, "And are the children of God." He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I did also deliver to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" John MacArthur, I was reading a quote by him this week, and he said, when his mother died, she'd just been drinking a cup of coffee or tea. She sat in a chair and put a cup down, and she went to glory. And the doctor said to him, "Listen, John, you need to sort out this problem. It was an aneurysm. You may have an aneurysm, and you need to have it investigated. It can be hereditary, it can And he said, "I said, I know." He said, "I am anxious. There are times when you're anxious. You wonder how you're going to die, and you wonder where you'll be, etc." He said, "But," he said, "I said to the doctor, listen, there are two ways I want to die. One," he says, "I long for the Lord to come and receive me into Himself. The other is to be drinking a cup of coffee and sitting down and putting a cup on the table and being with my Lord." And you see, I don't know about you, but don't you get excited about that day? One day you're going to close your eyes. It might be in a hospital bed. You may die of a terrible disease. You may have a terrible accident. No one knows. You may just simply sit in your armchair. But one thing you know is this, that nothing will separate us from the love of God as in Christ Jesus. You one day will be held like you've never beheld him before. I ask our brother Kerry to give thanks for the bread.
We do thank you, our Father, that we can come before you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been reminded about your love again this afternoon. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you told your disciples, it's recorded in your word, and hence it extends to us, that you love them with the same love that the Father loved you. Lord, that love that's shared amongst the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the love that is lavished upon us. Perfect love. And as Martin's just reminded us, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Lord, what a wonderful standing we have in the Lord Jesus. Untouchable. Because of the one to whom we belong. We do thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came into this world. You who made this world, walked its paths, partook of the food which you created. That you knew what it was to suffer fatigue, disappointment, sadness. Anything you didn't know, Lord, was sin. You never suffered from sin. And then, Lord, in that body that was prepared for you, you were prepared to offer for us. Lord, in that body, you became sin for us. You offered yourself. Lord, impress it upon us. Just how wonderful your love is towards us. We thank you for this bread, this very simple emblem of the wonder of your love towards us. Lord, we thank you now in our Saviour's name. Amen.
Amen.
Take heed, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, and he gave thanks. And we'll ask our brother Mark to give thanks for the cup.
Lord, we thank you for the words of prayer. That in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither life, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Lord, we thank you that we can't be separated from you. There's nothing that can separate us. Lord, so we've been reminded today we can't really grasp the magnitude and the depth of your love for us, that you would take our place. You would die the death that should have been ours for the sin that was done by us. And not just us, but the sin of all men, especially those who believe in the Saviour God. So Lord, I just pray that you help us to grasp this. Lord, no matter what we face throughout the day, throughout months and through years of our lives, we know that you can't be separated. We know that your word also says that our light and momentary sufferings will be far outweighed by the glory that is yet to come. And so, Lord, whatever we face, we know that we cannot be separated from you. And yet, Lord, we remind that it's nothing. It's through nothing that we've done, Lord, but by your mercy and by your grace to us. So Lord, we pray that as we come to remember your death and understand your resurrection to life, Lord, that whoever believes in you will also share in that resurrection to eternal life. And Lord, we thank you. So bless this cup as we remember the blood shed for us. Lord, that help us to grasp it as our finite minds as far as we can, and Lord, that we turn and live a life that we brought to you. So Lord, we praise you and we thank you for all of these things. May the glory be yours, in Jesus' name. Amen.
this cup, this new covenant in my blood, is do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And behold, what manner of love my Father has bestowed upon you, you should be called the children of God and are. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus of Nazareth. I wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned and unclean. Oh, Father God, we pray that we would ever be tender to your mercy, that we would not take it for granted. Forgive us for our critical spirits. Lord, forgive us for our strong views on others. Lord, ever keep the cross before us. We would be reminded that, yet by the grace of God, oh, your mercy in opening our eyes, your mercy in giving us the gift of persistency and the desire to be in the house of God. Lord, you've blessed us with all these gifts. Oh Lord, we pray that you bless us, that they may taste of what we have tasted. We ask these things in the name of our lovely, lovely Savior. Amen.
Amen.